सर्वेषां सुप्रभातम्। योगसूत्र परिचयवर्गः तस्य अष्टमी कक्षा, दिस इज द 8th क्लास इन द योगसूत्र परिचय कोर्स। विल बिगिन विथ द इन्वोकेशन। योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचा
मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तम प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि। सर्वेषां सुप्रभातम्। योगसूत्र परिचय वर्गस्य इयम् अष्टमी कक्षा। सो we are discussing the first pada, and in the previous class we'll just do a recap of the previous class before moving ahead as we do usually. So in the previous class initially we discussed about ekatattva abhyasaha, which was part of Ishvara Pranidhanam discussion. So the previous unit that we discussed was on Ishvara Pranidhana, and Ekatattva Abhyasa has been mentioned in the commentaries, has been described in the commentaries variously, but the general sense of it is that a single pointed focus to overcome the Chitta Vikshepas, to overcome the distractions of the mind, one has to choose an object in which his mind will easily attain single pointed focus. So that was Ekatattva Abhyasa, and after that a set of 7 methods, various methods now are being discussed to attain ekagrata, single pointed focus. Excuse me. So it is this single pointed focus that will help to reach the state of samadhi, especially the lower stages of samadhi, lower stage of samadhi, sampragnata samadhi. And as we saw earlier, these methods to attain ekagrata or single pointed focus are various in nature, in the sense they touch upon the various aspects of human existence. Some use the emotional faculty to help the mind calm down, help the mind attain a pleasant state, and then through that single pointed focus. Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upekshanam, the sutra on that discussed about how to sublimate our emotions so that we remain in a, we attain chitta prasadanam, a state in which the mind is happy, the mind is pleasant. So pleasant state of mind is a method through which ekagrata, single pointed focus, can be attained. So that was one idea, one method given by Patanjali. And pranayama was prescribed briefly also to attain sampragnata samadhi, as a method to attain sampragnata samadhi, or to attain ekagrata, which will lead to sampragnata samadhi. And So this is at the level of breath. So the previous one was at the level of emotions. And then we saw two practices which were called as Vishoka, which will remove shoka from our mind, which will remove suffering, the sense of suffering from the mind. And this is also an indication that when suffering is not there, again the mind, it is easy for the mind to attain single pointed focus. So Vishayavati Pravrittihi, as I mentioned earlier, and the Jyotishmati Pravrittihi, these are the two methods. Vishayavati Pravrittihi is focusing on the various points of the senses, tip of the nose, and then tip of the tongue, and then middle portion of the tongue. So all these specific portions which are to be focused upon as per the guidance of a teacher to attain divine experiences, divine sensual experiences. So which will again help the mind attain focus. So that is Vishayavati Pravrittihi, and then Jyotishmati Pravrittihi is meditating upon the heart. The heart, which is generally considered in the yogic lore as the seat of the intellect and emotions and even the soul, Atma. So meditating upon the pure sattvic intellect in the heart, according to Vyasa, will give an experience of light, Jyotihi, Jyotishmati, the light or the pure sattvic light, which will resemble the brightness of the sun, the moon and other such celestial beings. So that is the description that we get from Vyasa's commentary. So we will experience light by meditating upon the heart on the pure sattvic intellect. So this much of detail is available from Vyasa's commentary on Jyotishmati Pravrittihi. The essential aspect of it is both Vishayavati Pravritti and Jyotishmati Pravritti are Vishoka. In the sense, they drive away Shoka. Vyasa further says that these two Pravrittis or these two practices help in driving away our doubts. Doubts in the mind are also overcome. So, this much. These are some of the tools thus far we discussed to attain ekagrata, which will lead to sampragnata samadhi. Now we will continue with this, and some more methods are given in the Yoga Sutra. Three more methods are given in the Yoga Sutra to attain ekagrata. Yes. Vitaraga vishayam va chittam. Vitaragaha. Vitaha. Ragaha. Yebhyaha. Te. Vitaragaha. Those from whom passion, attachment, clinging to worldly things have left. So from whom, or those who are free from all these worldly attachments, the great souls, they are called as Vitaragas. Great souls like Vyasa, Shuka, Janaka. So all these are the great souls whom we understand from the Puranic Mahabharata and the Vedic literature to be free from all kinds of attachment. So, and they have attained oneness with the Supreme Consciousness. So, such are the great souls. And specifically, some of the commentaries mention Shuka as the object of meditation. Shukacharya, who was the son of Vyasa. The detachment of Shuka is greater. That is what we find from the Bhagavata Purana also. So, Shuka, and in the modern times, we get many great sages like Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. So, all these are Vitaragas, are those who are free from attachment and worldly clinging. So, when the mind focuses upon these souls, these the life of the great souls, the life and deeds of these great souls, then it attains single pointed focus. This is a kind of focusing on the role models. So these are the great role models who show the road to a single pointed focus and higher spiritual experience. So these are Vitaragas. When the mind becomes or mind focuses on the teachings, the lives of these, then also it attains ekagrata and gradually reaches sampragnata samadhi. So that is another method. And then comes swapna nidra jnana lambanam va. This is another interesting method to attain ekagrata. To this Vyasa says, Swapnalambanam nidra jnanalambanam va tadakaraha yoginaha tadakaram yoginaschittam sthitipadam labhate iti. So, swapna jnanalambanam, the knowledge that one derives in the dream state. Swapna refers to the dream state. And nidra jnanalambanam, the knowledge that one derives from the deep sleep state, sushupti avastha. So, focusing upon the experiences or the knowledge that one gains from the dream state and the deep sleep state, the mind again attains focus. So, again, the commentary here, the commentators discuss, the sub-commentators discuss the swapna jnanalambanam and nidra jnanalambanam. Swapna in dream state, sometimes some will experience a preceptor or a teacher coming and giving him some instructions in the dream state. And this has various interpretations according to various scholars. So, some people get some initiation, some teaching, some guidance in the dream state, and one should focus upon such experiences, that such teachings, such indications that one receives in the dream state, and then meditate upon that, which will help the mind attain ekagrata. And nidra, this is about swapna, and then comes nidra. Nidra is deep sleep state where no other thoughts remain, but only the vritti called nidra remains, only the experience of the deep calmness, the peace that remains in the nidra. And Vachaspati Mishra commentator says, so nidra refers to the sattvika nidra, the sattvic deep sleep state, the experience of which after waking up would be sukham aham aswapsam na kinchid avedisham. I slept very peacefully and very comfortably, and I knew nothing in my deep sleep state. So, such is the experience of Sattvika Nidra, and one should focus one's mind on this peaceful state that one experienced during the deep sleep, and this will also help to calm the mind. So that is deep sleep state. Focusing on the instructions received in the dream state, or focusing on the experience of the peaceful and deep sleep that one experiences, that would also help the mind to calm down, to attain single pointed focus. So these are indeed very very interesting and new kind of ideas for meditation. Some other commentators like Vijnana Bhikshu and others, they say they look at this sutra in a different light. So Swapna refers to dream state, and a yogi who desires to attain single pointed focus should meditate upon the worldly experiences that he is currently undergoing as a dream. So thinking about the current worldly experiences themselves as a dream, that is the method mentioned here. That is one opinion. And Nidra again is, as we see in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, final verse, we see towards the end, we see that Yanisha Sarvabhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Munehe. The night for a yogi is the day of the worldly people, and the day of the worldly people is the night of the yogi, which means the worldly minded normal people, they see light, or they are guided by the light of the senses. So wherever their senses lead them, there they perceive things and attain experiences based on their activities of the sense and the mind. And so that is their daytime. Whereas that is the night time, that is the sleep time for a yogi, which means a yogi does not follow his senses, sense experiences. So it is the inner light which guides him, and not the senses which guide him to attain various experiences. So the worldly experiences brought about by the senses is almost non-existent. It is darkness for a yogi. So he doesn't venture into worldly experiences given by the senses. So that is the Nidra for him. That is the darkness. That is the night for him. And the yogi is guided by the inner light. And his intellect is lit with the knowledge of the Atman. So that is the day for him. So that is where light lies for him. Whereas the worldly minded people, for them, these are darkness. In these aspects, the inner light is not shining for them. So that is the night for him. Night for the worldly people. So the higher spiritual experiences are night, are described as the night for worldly people, and though that is the day for a yogi. So meditating upon this idea is presented by some of the commentators as Nidra meditation, meditation on Nidra. So there are many, very many, if we go deeper into the various commentaries, we will get much more interesting ideas for meditation. So this is on Swapna Nidra Jnana Alambanam Va. Alambanam, taking the support. Taking the support of dream experience or taking the support of the deep, peaceful, deep sleep experience and attaining single-pointed focus. That is presented in this particular sutra. Or, finally, like, which is characteristic to all most ancient systematic literature in Sanskritam, Patanjali says, Yathabhimata Dhyanadva. So far I have presented various methods. Let it be Maitri Karuna Mudita, or let it be Prachardana Vidharana, or let it be Vishayavati Pravritti and Jyotishmati Pravritti, or Vitaraga Vishayam, or Swapna Nidra Jnana Lambanam. So various methods have been given. Choose any among these, or yathabhimatam, as desired by the practitioner, the desired object of the practitioner. So whichever object is to the liking, whichever object will help a specific practitioner to attain focus. The lotus is one such example. So focus upon anything that which will help attain focus. Yatha abhimatam, according to the desire of the practitioner, but it should be sattvic, in the sense which should not kick up the rajasic and tamasic experiences. So probably of one's own liking, in consultation again with the teacher, with the guru, with the spiritual master. So that will also help attain single pointed focus. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, you have the same tone where Krishna gives the entire teaching, and the 18th chapter, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Vimrishyaita Asheshena Yathechasi Tathakuru. You analyze whatever I have presented so far and act as you desire. So, the freedom to act, the freedom to choose, that we find in yogic texts like Bhagavad Gita, and Yathabhimata Dhyanam is another classical example where there is no strict rules. It is the goal which is important, and the object of focus or the method is to the choice of the practitioner. The practitioner is free to choose. So, these are the methods that are presented by Patanjali to attain ekagrata. Okay. So, the last sutra in this particular unit presents the ekagrata phalam. What kind of a control over the mind a yogi will attain by practicing all or any of these methods to attain focus? So what kind of focus, what kind of control a yogi will secure over the mind? The sutra says, Paramanu paramamahatvantosya vashikaraha, the control over the mind will be absolute. In the sense that Paramanu, if he wants to focus on anything that is subtle as a paramanu, as subtle as an atom, his mind will easily attain focus in such subtle things. And then Parama Mahatva, a very vast or very great expansive thing, if he desires to think about or to meditate upon or to focus upon such a vast thing, such a great thing like Akasha, the sky, his mind will attain that. Paramanu paramamahatvantosya vashikaraha. If he wants to focus on subtle things, his mind will easily go into such a subtle state. And if his mind desires to focus on a vast thing, a great thing, his mind will be equally at ease to attain focus on vast or expansive things also. And I feel that the Paramanu and Paramamahatva indicates the nature of the objects, but it also indicates the nature of any concept also. If anyone desires to dwell upon the subtle aspects of any concept, his mind can easily dwell or bring out the subtle insights. And similarly, if a person desires to understand a very, very complex and very elaborate concept, his mind, which is Paramamahatva, he will easily attain a holistic picture about any complex and elaborate concepts also. So that is the kind of result that one gains by practicing any of these methods. That is the kind of control, Vashikara, that a practitioner gains by practicing these methods prescribed in this particular unit. So there ends unit 5. And now we move into the final unit of the first pada, the sixth unit, which describes about the Sabija and Nirbija Samadhis. So what is Sabija and Nirbija? We will currently discuss that. Any questions on this so far? Okay. So far in the previous 5 units, we saw about the general description, the definition of yoga, methods like Abhyasa and Vairagya, the way Abhyasa and Vairagya are to be practiced, and of course a set of tools like Maitri, Karuna, Pranayama, and all those were mentioned. Now, as this is Samadhi Pada, a detailed or elaborate discussion about the various kinds of samadhis that is presented in this unit, and this will help us to have a peek or to have a look into the workings of the mind of a yogi. So we know about various spiritual personalities like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or Ramana or various such spiritual personalities. So how does their mind function? So that an insight into that aspect, we can take it or we can look it that way. So the workings of the mind or the way in which they have attained that spiritual glory, their control over the mind and the realization of the self, how did they attain? So what were the processes that were happening in the mind of such great yogis and spiritual masters? So we will get an insight into the working of the mind of such personalities in this section. So as you see, the scope of this is from the 41st, or the range of the sutras is from the 41st sutra to the end of this pada, that is the sutra 51. There was a mention about the state of samadhi earlier. The two kinds of samadhis that were mentioned there are sampragnata and asampragnata samadhis. Sampragnata samadhi, just a reminder about the previous mention. In the 17th and 18th sutras, the sampragnata and asampragnata samadhis were mentioned, where in sampragnata samadhi, the object is clearly known during the meditation. That is sampragnata samadhi. And asampragnata samadhi is virama pratyaya, is a meditation without object. In the sense that an objectless state of mind, in the sense there is no object to focus upon, and the mind is at rest. There are no thoughts, absolutely no thoughts in the mind. Whereas in sampragnata samadhi, the mind attains the form, or the mind attains identity. The mind becomes one with the object of meditation. There will be no difference between, or there will be no perception of difference in or between the meditation, the act, the process of meditation, the meditator and the object of meditation in the sampragnata samadhi. Whereas asampragnata samadhi is a state where after reaching sampragnata samadhi, the necessity of an object to attain focus is overcome. So there will be no need for an object of focus for a person who has transcended the sampragnata state to attain peace. So the mind will be at rest, and only the knowledge of Atma, knowledge of the Purusha will shine forth. So that was mentioned as the asampragnata samadhi, and that asampragnata samadhi was also divided into bhava pratyaya and videha pratyaya in the previous portion, I think in the second unit, second or third unit. So bhava pratyaya, those yogis who attain the state of asampragnata samadhi by birth, they are upaya pratyaya. So they are the those yogis who attain sampragnata samadhi through the bhava pratyaya. So by birth, bhava is birth. So by birth they attain this asampragnata samadhi. And upaya pratyaya, there are yogis who practice various upayas, like just now we discussed these methods, various methods, shraddha, virya, smriti, and all these very many tools that we discussed. And those upayas, by the practice of upayas, they attain this asampragnata samadhi in this birth, in the current birth. So asampragnata samadhi was divided into bhava pratyaya and upaya pratyaya in the earlier sections. So sampragnata samadhi and asampragnata samadhi, and asampragnata samadhi was further divided into bhava pratyaya and upaya pratyaya. So by those yogis who attain asampragnata samadhi by birth, by the virtue of the practice in their previous births, in the next birth, they naturally are born in such a state of mind, that is of asampragnata samadhi. Certain other yogis, or most other yogis, attain asampragnata samadhi by practicing various methods of meditation and yoga. So that is upaya pratyaya. So essentially, only two kinds of samadhis were mentioned there: bhava pratyaya, sampragnata samadhi and asampragnata samadhi. Going by Vyasa's commentary, sabija and nirbija samadhi also mean the same: sampragnata and asampragnata. But there is a slight difference in the or a bit elaborate. The process is described in a in much more detail, and there is a certain variation in describing the Sabija and Nirbija Samadhis in this section of Yoga Sutra, the first pada. Probably there were two schools of thought on attaining the Sampragnata and Asampragnata Samadhis. The name was also different. Sampragnata, Asampragnata, Sabija and Nirbija. All this will be clear as we discuss the sutras of this particular segment. Now, in the previous segment, we saw about the methods that are to be practiced to attain Ekagrata. Now we see Ekagrata Vridhya Sabija Samadhihi is attained. Samanya Samapattihi. So when Ekagrata develops, when single pointed focus increases, what happens is one attains in the highest state of Ekagrata, that is attained by the practice of any of the methods prescribed in the previous unit. What happens is Ekagrata reaches its pinnacle, Ekagrata increases to a great extent, and the yogi passes into the state of Sabija Samadhi, which is synonymous to Sampragnata Samadhi, which is also called as Samanya Samapattihi. So there is another terminology introduced. This is not a sutra, this is the description of the sutra. The sutra 41 is Kshinavritter Abhijatasyeva Manehe Grahitra Grahana Grahyeshu Tatstha Tadanjanata Samapattihi. So this sutra presents a term which is synonymous to Samadhi. The term is Samapatti. Samyag apadyate chittam dhyayakaram, which means the mind gets transformed into the object of meditation. So the transformation of the mind into the form of the object of meditation is what is samapatti. And the general state of the samapatti will be, that is described in the sutra, is the mind will become kshina vritti. There will not be many, many thoughts, many, many vrittis, many, many modifications of the mind. The vrittis would have attained kshaya. They would have considerably reduced, and the mind will attain a state of a pure crystal. Earlier, due to the disturbance of the vrittis, the crystal, which is the mind, mani, was not pure. It was impure. It was unable to reflect the object that is placed near it. Now, by the practice of all these methods, what happens is, it is like the cleaning of a crystal. A crystal which had accrued dust of the various modifications of the thoughts, that is cleared. Now the mind is like a abhijata mani, which is like a clear crystal. And then what happens is grahitra grahana grahyeshu. So whatever is brought near it, whatever comes into contact with that, let it be the grahita or the grahanam or grahyam. Grahita is the Atman who is involved, or who by whose presence the worldly activities happen. So he is the grahita. Grahita refers to the Atman or the Purusha according to yogic terminology. and grahanam, the senses that act to bring knowledge from the world outside, they are mentioned as grahanam and grahyam, the object of meditation, or the objects that are being brought from the world outside to the proximity of the mind. So in all these, so whichever attains proximity with such a clear crystal like mind, they get totally reflected by that mind. So that is the general idea of samapatti. Tatstha tadanjanata samapattihi. The mind attains tatstha, the form and the color of the object which is placed near it. Let it be the form of the Purusha or the senses or the object which are brought into contact of the mind by the senses. So the mind gets transformed into any of these which is brought into its contact. So that is the general definition of Samprajnata Samadhi. Now here there is a question. Is it similar to Savikalpa Samadhi and Nirvikalpa Samadhi? We will be discussing the Savikalpa and Nirvikalpa variations in this segment. There is a technical difference in what Savikalpa and Nirvikalpa is. So in this section, we will be focusing on four kinds of samadhis under Savija. Savikalpa, Nirvikalpa, Savichara, Nirvichara. So all these four come under the Savija or Samprajnata Samadhi. So this will be made clear as we proceed to understand this segment. So this is the general feature. The 41st Sutra presents the general feature of any samadhi. So let it be as was asked, let it be Savikalpa or Nirvikalpa or Savichara or Nirvichara. In all these states, what is common is that the mind is absolutely pure like a clear crystal, which is not bothered by various worldly thoughts. Such is the state attained by the mind by the increase in ekagrata. And what happens is, any object that comes into contact or any object that is chosen by the yogi for meditation, the mind is capable of transforming itself into the object that comes into its contact. So that is the mind. Tad akaram apadyate. It attains the form of anything that is brought into contact. So that is the general feature of any of the samadhis which will be mentioned in the next sutras. So the seven tools of ekagrata, they help the mind, they help the practitioner to attain a perfect control over the mind. He can dwell upon the subtlest thing, or he can dwell upon the greatest thing. So he is free to choose any object of meditation. And when he chooses any object to focus upon, what happens is mentioned in this sutra, that is the 41st sutra, the mind gets transformed into the object that is chosen by the yogi for meditation, and that is called as samapatti. So this is samanya samapatti. This is the common description of any of the samadhis which are to be mentioned henceforth. also the general feature of samapatti visa or samadhi. Samapatti and samadhi are one and the same. Now comes the classification of the samadhis. Now, and classification, this is not a mere classification, this is also a refinement of samadhi states. So from the objects in the successive samadhis that are to be mentioned will be finer and finer. So what differentiates one samadhi from the other samadhi? I mentioned about savichara, nirvichara, savitarka and nirvitarka. So what is the difference in these samadhis? The mind getting transformed into the object of meditation is common in all these things. The absolute transformation of the mind into the object of meditation is common among all these samadhis. But what is the differentiating feature of each of these samadhi is the refinement of the object of meditation. So that is the differentiating feature. Let us see. So the division of Savitarka and Nirvitarka samadhis come here. And after that we will get Savichara and Nirvichara. At this point, I would like to remind one of the previous sutras on samadhi. These two terms, vitarka and vichara, are not new to us. We have already heard these two terms, vitarka and vichara. That is, in the sutra 17, we saw that vitarka vichara ananda asmita rupanugamat sampragnyataha. So the sampragnyata samadhi in the previous sutra is stated to have four levels: vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita. We briefly saw the description about these four states. Vitarka is the mind focusing on gross objects, gross worldly objects like a flower or a form of the god. So when this is the object of meditation, then object of focus, then it is vitarka. And then vichara is when the objects become subtle, in the sense that the idea of subtlety in Yoga Sutra corresponds or is linked to the process of evolution that is described in Sankhya system. So I am just reminding that aspect. So the source or the root of all material existence is the Prakriti or the Pradhanam, and it is from this Pradhanam or the Prakriti, which is Triguna, which is made up of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So that is the root state. And then what happens is, from the Prakriti, Mahat or the intelligent principle that emerges. This Mahat in the Puranas are called as the Hiranyagarbha or the Srishtikarta or the Chaturmukha Brahma. So Mahat, the creative principle, emerges, and from Mahat, Ahankara emerges, the idea of ego, which facilitates further creation, individualization, or the division of the creation into various segments happens because of this Ahankara Tattva. Prakritair Mahan Tato Ahankaraha Tasmat Ganascha Shodashakaha. And from that ahankara various evolutes, like the pancha tanmatras, the pancha indriyas, or all these emerge from the ahankara, the manas. All these emerge from this ahankara, and from this pancha tanmatras, the pancha bhutas emerge, and from those pancha bhutas, the five elements, various objects of this world that we see, that we perceive, the mountain, the river, the sky, the clouds, all those things emerge from those pancha bhutas. So this is the general idea of evolution, and all that emerge from the pancha bhutas themselves, and those that emerge from the pancha bhutas, they come into the realm of the vitarka state. So, and then when the vichara state comes, so all these are gross in nature, and a yogi, one who focuses on all these, the panchabhutas and its and their evolutes, and attains samadhi. So that samadhi is said to be in the state of vitarka, gross objects. And then beyond this, beneath this, the subtler aspects like the pancha tanmatras, the ahankara, the mahat, the prakriti, all these are subtle objects. And focusing upon these subtle objects, if the yogi's mind attains samadhi, it is called as vichara state. So these objects, when they help in attaining samadhi, it becomes vichara samadhi. And then ananda and asmita. Ananda was described as khaladaha, happiness, or a sense or pleasant state of mind due to the increase in sattva in the mind by the preceding practices of vitarka and vichara. And focusing on that, ananda also helps the mind to get absorbed, or to reduce, or to attain samadhi, focusing on that ananda itself. And then asmita, the one who experiences this samadhi, the I feeling, the I sense, so that is asmita, which refers to the purusha there. And if the mind is focused on the nature of the purusha, who is the experience of this experiencer of the bliss, so that becomes asmita samadhi. Now why I described all these four again is that there is a difference in approach in this particular segment of Yoga Sutra when compared to the previous segment of Vitarka, Vichara, Ananda and Asmita. So in the 17th Sutra, we saw that four stages of samadhi, four stages of sabija or sampragnata samadhi was described: vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita. Whereas in this unit, in this segment, we will see only the description of samadhi based on the first two states, vitarka and vichara only. Ananda and asmita are not mentioned here, and not many commentaries, there are absolutely no discussion in the commentaries as far as my knowledge goes as to why four states, four different states like vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita were mentioned previously, and only two states of vitarka and vichara are taken to describe the states of samadhi in this segment. So why is this difference in the description of samadhi exist? Commentaries are silent on this. But one thought that occurred to me is that all the sutra literature are but the collection of the various methods which are available or which are pre-existing. When we discuss about Paniniya Sutra, his organization of the grammatical rules is what is marvelous. Various grammatical texts say that he codified or collected or arranged or systematized the thoughts on grammar. It is not that he created words and created word forms, but he regularized the system. So that was what the unique contribution of Panini with regard to the grammar system. And of course, in the Panini Sutras themselves, Panini refers to various scholars and rishis who had different opinions, like Shakalya, Shakatayana, Lopashakalyasya is one sutra. It's just an example where an opinion of the Shakalya on a specific grammatical rule is expressed. So, the attempt of Panini is Uktanam idam anvakhyanam. So, whatever has been already existing, whatever grammatical rules or conventions that are pre-existing, it is an attempt to restate it in a systematical manner. So, following the same thought process, when we see here that the probably there were two schools of practice of yoga, where one school followed four steps to attain samadhi, or four stages of sampragnata samadhi was mentioned or utilized by the one school: vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita. Whereas another school focused only on vitarka and vichara states, and they attained the final the goal of samadhi. So, two different experiences or two different paths in attaining samadhis are mentioned in this first pada. So, it is not a contradiction or a mistake. It is rather the two strands of thoughts, two threads of thoughts on attaining or on describing the final states of samadhi that was pre-existent. These are collected by Patanjali and organized or presented. So, and that fulfills the role of a sutrakara. So, a sutrakara systematically collects and organizes the thoughts on the concepts of his discipline which were pre-existent. Uktanam anvakhyanam. So, this is one method to describe samadhi, and Savitarka, Nirvitarka, Savichara, Nirvichara is another method to attain samadhi. So, there is no contradiction or confusion, it seems, between these two methods of samadhis. So, now let's... it's already time. So, the point here is, I'll just conclude this and we will elaborate upon this, because this needs enough time to discuss, because the concepts are such that they require quite some time to explain or to present before you. So, the previous state of samadhi was, the idea of samadhi was vitarka, vichara, ananda and asmita. Whereas here, we find only two methods, that is vitarka and vichara. And these two methods are further subdivided into, the vitarka state is divided into Savichara and Nirvichara, the Vitarka state is divided into Savitarka and Nirvitarka, and the Vichara state is divided into Savichara and Nirvichara. So, here also we find four steps to attain, or four steps in, or four steps of refinement in the Savija Samadhis. So, these four, Savitarka, Nirvitarka, Savichara and Nirvichara, all come under Savija Samadhi or Sampragnata Samadhi. So, I am just making it clear once more that according to going by Vyasa, there may be various other interpretations in various other commentaries. According to Vyasa, Savija Samadhi and Sampragnata Samadhi are one and the same. So, probably this also indicates the terminologies that were used in two schools. Whereas they called it Sampragnata and Asampragnata, this school of thought on Samadhi described it the same thing as Sabija and Nirbija. So, these are the ideas, the initial thoughts on the Sabija and Nirbija Samadhi. I will clarify all these things. We will discuss, or I will present this once again in brief in the next class also, and then we will go ahead towards the completion of the first pada. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Previously there is one question. The various upayas for ekagrata, are they all to be practiced one after another, or one may be chosen and pursued to attain ekagrata? That was the question. In the commentary literature, we do not find any mention on any specific answer to this question. But going by the sutras, we see that there is a usage of the term va. Prachardhana vidarana abhyam va pranasya vishayavati va pravrittirutpanna. So, the term va indicates or. So, either by Maitri Karuna Mudito Peksha, one can attain Chitta Prasadanam. Or by the practice of Pranayama, one can attain Chitta Prasadanam. Or by pursuing the Vishayavati and Jyotishmati Pravritti, one can attain Chitta Prasadanam. Again, it is repeated. The term va is again repeated. Vitaraga Vishayam va Chittam. Swapna Nidra Jnanalambanam va. There we don't find the va. So, Vitaraga Vishayam va Chittam. So, the repeated appearance of the term va is an indication that these are independent methods and not necessarily steps towards attaining ekagrata. So, these are the methods independently they can be pursued to attain the highest ekagrata, which will lead to Vashikara. And there is one more question. So, Samadhi is a, the question was, is Samadhi Ikaranta or Ikaranta? Samadhi is Ikaranta, Hrasva. But the slide says, Sabija Nirbija Samadhi. It is Dvivachana that is presented in the slide, the title of the slide, Samadhihi Samadhi, Sabija Samadhischa, Nirbija Samadhischa, Sabija Nirbija Samadhi. So, the Dvivachana is represented in the slide there. So, that's why you find a Dirga Ikara in the slide. Essentially, it is Hrasva Ikara. Okay. So, we will conclude the session here. And if you have questions, do send us mail. We will conclude with the shloka. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Dhanyavadah.